Well, we ought to sing because we're happy and sing because we are free. That is a great message in song, that not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of our Father in heaven. And if he's keeping track of the sparrows, then he's not going to lose track of us. He's got the whole world in his hand, and we're there as well. So, well, I hope you're glad to be in this house today, and I hope you brought God's book with you. You're going to need it today. I hope you need it every week. Faithful and giving attention to Scripture. But we're going to do a little Bible drill today. It might be more of a Bible study type sermon, but for our Scripture reading, we are going to be in Mark chapter 13. In the New Testament, Mark 13, and I will read verses 5 to 8. And then you can keep your Bibles handy because we're going to be flipping through the good book today. So, and if you do have Mark 13 and you're willing and if you're able, I do invite you to stand for the public reading of God's holy word. What a great blessing and privilege it is for us to have so many copies of this wonderful, of these wonderful words of life. And so let's do give attention as I read from Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse number 5. And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." And let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us here this day, for placing us in this country and in this city with all of the tremendous benefits that you have lavished upon us. We thank you for this building, this house of worship that we, your people, your church, can gather here today and fellowship with each other, sing your praises and pray to you and hear your word, and encourage us this day by the things that will be said. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, and in Christ's name I ask. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I would imagine that most of us, or at least many of us, are very fond of a forecast, of weather, of a forecast, maybe particularly as Oklahomans. Maybe I just think of that way because I've lived here all my life. But it seems that we in Oklahoma do kind of have a particular attachment and affection for weather forecast. I mean, if there's a wind gust in Ponca City, we got to know about it in Oklahoma City. You know, we just want to know what's going on weather-wise. And, you know, we're kind of fond of forecasts because it does kind of help us to prepare for the day ahead or the week ahead. And we kind of plan our lives around what might be coming down the pike as far as the weather goes. Well, we're in this this series we've entitled Looking Over the Horizon, where we as the people of God have been anticipating some things that may be headed our way, some things that our Lord warned us about and promised us. He told people in his day in Matthew 16, he got on to them. He says, you know how to interpret the sky. You can look up at it and said, "Hey, it's red out there, and so it's going to be a stormy day, but don't you and can't you even interpret the signs of the times? I mean, can't you look out there and see things and tell that a storm is approaching?" And so that is kind of what we've been doing, is we've been trying to anticipate what might be coming our way from what the scripture tells us. Last week we noted that there were some societal trends that we are to take note of. And today we're moving from the societal things to some environmental things. That the Bible does tell us of some environmental changes, and it warns us about maybe what the weather will look like before Christ comes. You know, the Bible does give us a weather forecast, if you will, a future weather forecast, just like we have our 7-day forecast or whatever. Here, our Lord, long before the time, he says, yeah, you might just look out for some of these environmental things just to kind of know what is coming down the pike. Climate change is a phrase we're all familiar with. And you know, then climate change is coming. Guess what? The Bible does talk about the climate change, and there's some things that we are to expect. We're to expect that there's going to be some ground shaking, that there's going to be some grass burning, that the seas will be roaring, that the wind, in fact, will be stopping, that hail will be falling, that the sun will be scorching and the moon will be blushing and the stars will be falling and even heaven itself will be quaking. There are some very specific and really big things that are forecast for the future. Very noticeable happenings that when they begin to happen, we should be able to take note. A very heavy forecast for the future. Because, you know, last week we talked about some societal trends, and one of the things is that sin would be increasing, and as man's sin begins to increase in our world, the world itself will react to our wickedness. The very earth that we walk on will react to our evil. The very environment around us will begin to warn us of our great wickedness. I mean, you think about it from the very beginning chapters of the Bible. Our sin is what initially changed the paradise environment that we were created in. It was our sin and our rebellion against our Creator that brought thorns and thistles to the very ground that we walk on. And from the thorns and the thistles, and even more than that, the bees got their stingers and the skunks got their stinkers and the bushes got their briars, and our whole environment was altered because of our evil. Because you see, sin brings repercussions not just to us, it most surely does, but it brings repercussions to nature. Because God put us to be the stewards of nature and to exercise dominion and authority and to care for this creation. And when we fell into corruption, it affects the creation that is around us. And so today's message, you might think of, is it's going to be a little bit like a future weather forecast. That as society, as societal sins begin to increase, that the environmental reproduction or repercussions are going to keep pace with our evil. And so I'm going to try and give a little forecast today. I don't have a green screen behind me like the meteorologists do, but you know, I might say, you know, that there are hives of sins coming up over the plains and you never know what's coming. You know, I'm just going to try to give a little forecast on what we as believers can expect. And in my forecast, I'm going to start with the ground and I'm going to try to work my way up into the sky. In fact, not just going to start with the ground, we're going to start below ground as we think about these environmental changes. So first of all, let's just think about what the scripture says about earthquakes. From the passage that I read in Mark chapter 13 in verse number 8, He says that there will be earthquakes in various places. Nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be earthquakes in various places, and there'll be famines, and these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Here Jesus tells us the future. And the reason that he tells us the future and some of these big events that are headed our way is so that we will not be frightened. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not too thrilled about an earthquake. But he tells us this so that we won't be frightened. If you get up to verse number 7, the verse right before it, he says, when you hear of these wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. You know, these things have to take place. It's ordained. God's in control of all this. And when you see earthquakes in various places, do not be frightened. Because he's already told us beforehand. And so he tells us the future so that we will not be frightened of the future. He gives us these future forecasts to kind of help us to prepare so that we'll know what is coming down the pike. And you know, it's good to prepare for the future. It's good to maybe know what the weather is going to be like so you can make due preparation. And with regards to earthquakes, maybe it's good to prepare psychologically for coming earthquakes. I don't know about you, but I get a really uneasy feeling when the ground moves beneath my feet. Have you ever felt an earthquake? Yeah, I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life, and I have never seen a live tornado. But I have felt a few earthquakes. And it's really unsettling, to be sure, to feel earthquakes. In fact, I felt an earthquake, and you know, we had a hurricane over Oklahoma City a few years ago, and I saw it on the radar. Isn't that odd, you know? But anyway, we're to expect some earthquakes. Here Jesus says that there's going to be earthquakes in various places. I looked at the United States, the Geological Survey, and they kind of keep track of those things. And they give this updated list. It's just continually updating of the significant earthquakes that happen, you know, every day. And I find it interesting. I looked at that list. In fact, I updated it this morning and looked. And you know where some significant earthquakes have been? Alaska, Greece, Indonesia, Tonga, Hawaii, Chile, Japan, Russia, California, Fiji, China, Puerto Rico, Rwanda, Pakistan, Texas, the Dominican, Guam, Oklahoma, the Philippines, Peru, Taiwan, Colombia, Nevada, Iran, El Salvador, Idaho, Oregon, Argentina. Just this morning I did, wow, man, they are all over the place. I mean, all over the place. And these were just the significant ones that make their list. A pretty good increase in earthquakes. In fact, the United States Geological Survey says, in answering the question, you know, are earthquakes more frequent now? And they says, well, there is an increasing number of them, because of course we're monitoring more of them. And so because of the equipment that we have, we're picking up more of them, which of course makes a great sense. Though they do add that, you know, about every 3 or 4 years, we're exceeding the average. I mean, it just keeps bumping up and up and up. I wondered, are the increased earthquakes just because we have more monitors, or because it was Jesus that said that there will be earthquakes in various places? You know, as a follower of Christ and knowing that he is the creator and the one that made this world, I'm going to stick with Jesus is the one that said that there is going to be an increase in earthquakes. In fact, as earthquakes are a sign that sin is increasing. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, and as I promised just a bit ago, we're going to do a little flipping through the scripture. Isaiah chapter 24, and listen to verse 19 and 20, because we'll see here that as sin increases upon the earth, it will bring about earthquakes. Isaiah 24, verse 19, the earth is broken asunder, the earth is split through, the earth is shaken violently, the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack for its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall and never to rise again. Here we have some very severe shaking of the earth. In fact, it is so severe, it is relayed as though the earth was reeling like a drunkard, just kind of, just tottering around. I kind of get the idea of, you ever used to spin a top, and you'd spin the top, and it'd, go for a while, and then as it began to slow down, it just started wobbling back and forth. I mean, is this referring to maybe that the earth itself will begin to wobble a little bit on its axis? But whatever it means, there's going to be some movement and some teetering and some tottering and some wobbling that's going to go on in our very earth. And the scripture here says it's because its transgressions are heavy upon it. That it is the weight of our sin that fractures the very ground that we walk on. That our evil upon the earth makes the earth shudder. You know, you ever get the shivers and the shudders? It's almost like the earth is so creeped out by our corruption that it starts shaking and quaking because the evil that it is having to bear. And I know I'm personifying the earth, as it will, as though, I know the earth is inanimate, but the scripture does the same thing. The scripture talks about the earth in this way. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 gives us an interesting picture of the earth here. Romans chapter 8, let me just start in verse number 20. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. You know, when we sinned, it affected the created order. And then verse 21 says, and the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Right now, the created order is in a slavery to our corruption. And verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Isn't that very interesting that the creation is personified in a way that our sin has caused the created order to suffer and to groan. Just to moan and to groan under our gross iniquity, and it is waiting for its liberation when it will be set free from its corrupt masters, which is us. Jesus said that the earthquakes, he said there are going to be earthquakes in various places. The text that I read earlier from Mark 13, it's repeated also in Matthew chapter 24. But he said when these earthquakes happen, he says, don't get too freaked out about it, because this is just the beginning of birth pangs. He likens the earth shaking and quaking and the earthquakes to like being in labor. It's a birth pang that the earth will start having contractions, if you will, because of our corruption. And just like in contractions, there becomes an increased intensity involved. It kind of starts off, I'm going to get in trouble with my wife here. It starts off small. None of them were small, right, baby? But it starts off small. And then it goes, and it goes a little bit, and then there's kind of a build up and a build up, and sometimes you think, man, these are getting so bad. We ran to the hospital and said, no, don't, this isn't the real deal yet. I know it feels like it's the real deal, but it's not the big one. Just go home. You're having Braxton Hicks. But eventually they build and build and build and build until the big one. And the delivery is ready. That's the way Jesus likens earthquakes. There's just going to be a a little pain over here and a little pain over there. And, it's just going to quake and shake and, here and there. And then it's going to build intensity. And they're going to get closer together and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as the earth groans and moans, contracting because of our corruption. You know that the scripture says that the earth is polluted. The scripture talks about pollution. That the earth is polluted and it reacts with convulsions. It's kind of, you don't want a bunch of gunk on you, do you? Get that off of me. It's almost that the earth does the same thing. In fact, back in Isaiah 24, verse number 5, it says, the earth also is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgress the laws, they violated statutes, they broke the everlasting covenant. That our sins upon the earth stains the earth, and it pollutes the earth, and it trashes the earth in such a way that it's just polluted because we break God's law. The earth obeys God's law. It obeys its eternal covenant. It has never broken God's law, but us, its masters, have. And so our land is polluted. Do you know that in Numbers chapter 35 and verses 33 and 34, it says that the shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land. It's just throwing trash out there, and it's just heaped up and heaped up, and it's polluting the land like the blood of Abel that just cried out for justice to God Almighty. So the shedding of innocent blood on our planet pollutes the planet in such a terrible way that it gets so bad that the earth itself shudders at the pollution upon it. Leviticus chapter 18 warns of sexual sins, and that when a land and a nation gets so sexually perverse, it says that the land itself will vomit out its inhabitants. Almost that our sexual sins make the earth so sick that it wants to puke. Think of a volcano that away. Or think of the shakings that away. So our Lord said there's going to be some earthquakes and in various places. It's going to intensify, just kind of like birth pains. In fact, let me also mention here that there are some very specific earthquakes that are mentioned in Scripture in the forecast. Not just earthquakes in general. They're going to be all over the place, our Lord said. But the Scripture lays out some very particular shakings that are going to happen that I find an amazing forecast for the future. In fact, let me read one of them in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38. Let me just read this one here. Ezekiel 38, verses 19 and 20. In my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down, the steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. Here, this is a very particular earthquake. That is a forecast, and if you read the whole context here, it happens when there is a battle in the nation of Israel. Some nations come to fight against Israel. They come from the north. In fact, even some very particular nations are mentioned. Ethiopia is mentioned. Persia is mentioned, which would be Iran. Russia was also mentioned. But anyway, there's this battle that's going to happen over in Israel. They're going to come in from the north, and the deciding factor in the battle is going to be a huge earthquake. I wonder if that's going to make the news. It's already made the good news. It's already here, what is going to happen. A very, very specific earthquake that will happen during a battle. Another one, maybe a more general, Revelation chapter 6, the first part of verse number 12. Let's see. And I looked, and he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. You go down to verse 14, and the sky was split apart like a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. I know our Lord's told us this stuff so we wouldn't be frightened, but when I moved to Hawaii and I read that every island is going to be moved out of its place, I was kind of wanting to get off of that little speck of land and rinse all that water, you know. It was a little unsettling to think about. You mean islands are going to be moved out of their place? And mountains are going to fall? Revelation chapter 11 and verse 13 mentions a specific earthquake in Jerusalem where a tenth of the city will fall and 7,000 men of renown would be killed in that particular earthquake. Let me just end on this one in Revelation 16. Revelation 16 and verse number 18, we read, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. I take it that's the big one. You know, you hear about that. Is the big one going to happen in California? This is the big one. And before the big one, there's going to be a variety of other ones varying in intensity in a variety of places, some very specific ones that are mentioned in specific locales. But one of the things that we can expect in the forecast is that when men rise in rebellion, and as that begins to increase and the weight of their sin begins to so pollute our earth, that the earth will begin to shake and the earth will begin to quake. And as the scripture says in Isaiah 2, God will rise to shake his earth. Now you just pick up a little ball. The creator is just going to shake things up a little bit. And you might think, oh, wow. Isn't that mean? No, let me say that that's gracious. Because God is so gracious. Be not just in being so patient with us, but to get our attention with so many warnings. I opened up my phone to the United States Geological Survey and places all around the world, quaking and shaking. I thank God, thank you for being willing to give, try to get our attention with shaking things up just a little bit, if you will. So that's one pretty big thing on the forecast. So moving past earthquakes, let's think about some grass and trees just real quick. One verse, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, and the first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Pretty severe. A third of vegetation bites the dust, if you will. I read this and I thought, man, there goes all of our landscaping effort. You know, we didn't even get the sod in over there. You know, here, third of it's just gone. You know, true green has turned into true gone, and here a third of it just goes away. But it's in the forecast. It is in the forecast, and I do at this point want to say that, you know, we are to be good stewards of what God has given us on this planet. It's why he put us here in the garden to tend the garden and to take care of the plants and the animals and the environment around us. And it's interesting in Revelation 11 and verse 18, at the end of that verse, it says that God will come and he will destroy those who destroy the earth. That we come, and isn't it amazing what kind of destructive powers we have on our environment? As its corrupt rulers. And so God, okay, you're tearing it up. I'm going to shake it up. And some of it's going to be burn up just a little bit. Well, moving from grass and trees, let's think a little bit about the oceans, our seas, and our fresh water. Turn, if you will, to Luke 21, verse 25. Luke 21:25. Here our Lord is giving us some signs to be aware of and to look out for what might be coming over the horizon. And he says in Luke 21:25, there's going to be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth, dismay among nations and perplexity at the roaring of the seas and the waves. Here there's great signs in the heaven. The sun and the moon is mentioned. And also that the seas, that the oceans are going to be quite disturbed. I find an interesting link there because, you know, our moon exerts a great influence upon our seas and tides. And I just wonder, you know, if the moon is affected in some way, then our seas are going to be affected. The oceans are going to be affected. And it says here that the nations are going to be in perplexity because of the roaring of the seas. There's going to be something out of the ordinary and very unusual that will be going on with our oceans. And you know, when the moon and the seas become out of kilter from how they normally go in the tides and whatnot, man is going to go mental. Man, what is going on here? I mean, you know, why are the seas so affected? And you know, I'm sure that the scientists, they're going to be freaked out on what in the world is causing this tumult with water. And you know, it's not going to be a man-caused disaster. It will be a God-caused disaster. I mean, because if the moon is infected, or really is it a God-caused disaster? Maybe it is man-caused. As our corruption shakes the earth and even the seas themselves are upset at our sin. There's an interesting verse in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 15. Where upon a wicked people and an idolatrous people, God promises to give them poison water. He says, I'm going to give you poison water to drink. I'm going to give poison water to a perverse people. I'm going to give wormwood for the wicked. And this verse is picked up in the book of the Revelation where it speaks that there will come a time where a third of our seawater as well as a third of our drinking water, our fresh water, are going to be affected. He says, okay, you're so bad, I'm going to give you bitter water. I'm going to give you a little bit of wormwood. And it talks about this falling star, this meteor, this asteroid that falls and it makes the waters bitter. Like, and I think of the little cup of water. Do you want one lump or two in that, you know, as the whatever falls? And our pollution of sin winds up bringing a pollution of our water as the seas and the waters are affected by our sin. It talks about the fish dying. You ever seen the pictures where they have these mass dying in some lakes and something? They're just washed up on the beaches and, you know, a little bit here and there and the, you know, the red, I forgot what. You know, anyway, it just happens a little bit here and there. Well, the forecast is, boy, our waters are going to be affected. They're going to be polluted in such a way. They're going to be poisoned because we have poisoned our world. Moving on to another aspect in our forecast, starting below ground and then moving up to the grass and then to the grass and the trees and then to the water. Well, let's think a little bit about the wind and the hail. Let's get above ground just a little bit because there's a whole lot going on below ground that we've already discussed. The wind. There's an odd forecast for wind that is headed our way on a certain day or days. Don't really know how long. Revelation 7 and verse number 1 says, "And after this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree." Imagine a time where there is no wind in the forecast. I mean, we live in a pretty windy part of the world, right? The winds go sweeping down the plains, and just recently we were in another very windy part of the world in the desert. Man, the wind's just a blowing. But imagine no breeze, no wind, no jet stream. No joke, just no wind. I mean, imagine the forecaster. Well, today we had an earthquake in the southeast, and there's no grass in the plains, and the water out west has gone bad, and the wind went away. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think that the wind would go away. An eerie silence, a calm before the storm, but that's the forecast of a day with no wind, or a time period of no wind. Not only wind, but hail. Hail is in the forecast too, mentioned several times. Now we know something about hail here in Oklahoma. In fact, we had a pretty severe hailstorm just south of us recently. In fact, that's why we can't get any sod out front, because the hail hit, and so it is delayed even where we can't get grass. Because, you know, we know something about hail and the damage that it does to property and to land. You might remember a few years ago that freak hailstorm in Mexico where it didn't just batter the cars, it covered the cars. I mean, it was feet of hail that just dumped. Isn't that odd? Well, there's some hailstorms mentioned. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, the first sounded, and hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Isn't that an interesting hailstorm? Hail and fire and blood. You might think, surely this is hyperbole. You know, you preacher going off the rails here, isn't this hyperbole? But it's really kind of reminiscent of what happened in the seventh plague in Egypt. Very, very, very similar to the hailstorm that destroyed Egypt. You can read it in Exodus chapter 9. There's another hailstorm mentioned in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 19. The temple of God was in heaven, and it was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. That's quite a combo. I mean, you get the lightning, you get the hail, you get the earthquake, you get a hailstorm. I mean, that's a pretty good storm in the forecast. And in fact, it's interesting if you note in Job chapter 38 where God is talking to Job and he's trying to bring him to his senses, if you will. And he asked Job a question about hail. He said, hey, Job, do you know where the storehouses of hail are? Do you know where I keep them? Because I reserve this hail for a time of battle. I reserve it for just the right time so I can drop it on mankind. Now, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, God's the one that makes the weather. It's his weather, it's his forecast, and he does it for his purposes. In fact, one of the last great hailstorms, a frightening one, Revelation 16:21. Listen to this, and think about your insurance payment. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, because its plague was extremely severe. I read that right. 100-pound hailstone is going to get your attention. The baseball, softball size hail that fell just a few weeks ago really gets your attention. But 100-pound hailstones? I can't imagine. I mean, a sack of Quikrete's only 50 pounds or 80 pounds. I mean, you know, you go get a sack of Portland, 92 pounds, and I wonder, you know, who's the guy that stacks these sacks all day long? You know, I don't want to meet up with him at the wrong time. But 100-pound hailstone, like sacks of Portland cement falling out of the sky? I mean, it's mind-boggling to think of it. And yet, what will men's response be? They will blaspheme God because of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Is it the same response, just like what happened in Egypt when God sent the hail on Egypt? Did they say, oh, God's trying to get our attention. We need to listen to what he's saying and all these things that are happening. No, it only hardened their hearts. And they only added to their evil. So some wind and hail are in the forecast. Well, let's move on up as we started below ground and then on the ground and the water and then we got the wind and the hail. Let's just move on up, even out of the atmosphere to the sun, the moon, and the stars. You know, God made the sun and the moon and the stars as receptacles of light. He created light before he made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then he put light in those receptacles to be signs for us, he says, and also to govern our day and govern our night. And our God is so kind because he has provided a very nice natural consistency to how our days and nights operate. We're used to it. We say, you know, it's as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, right? Sure as the sun comes up in the east and goes down in the west. I mean, God is so kind to be able to give us this nice natural consistency with light. Well, there is a future forecast that has an unusual ring to it. Unnatural, if you will, because God will do something out of the ordinary and not the way he naturally does it. Because we read in Scripture that light will be increased or light will be diminished. Almost as if God has a dimmer switch, if you will. In fact, I got a dimmer switch in the house and it doesn't work. Sometimes it just goes off and on. But you just go over there and you can just kind of adjust the lumens a little bit. You know, if you want it a little brighter or you want it a little less. Well, the forecast is God is going to do the same thing. Let's just flip through a few scriptures. I'll best just to read these. Isaiah 13 in verse number 13. It's Isaiah 13 in verse number 10. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Isn't that interesting? Here is mentioned the stars, even the constellations, the sun and the moon. They're going to be off schedule. It's just not going to be the way that it normally is. It's going to be, instead of the sunrise, it's going to be the sun dark. I don't know how that's going to flesh out, but an interesting forecast, if you will. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 26. This one's kind of interesting. Isaiah 13, he turns the dimmer down, if you will. Here we get the opposite effect. Isaiah 30 and verse 26, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter like the light of 7 days on the day that the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruised he has afflicted. Wow, the moon and the sun, I mean, he really cranks the brightness up a little bit, 7 times higher than we're accustomed to it being. Kind of interesting. What about Zechariah chapter 14? Zechariah 14. I hope I'm not being overly redundant here, but we don't usually turn to this many scriptures, but I think just to show you that I'm not making it up out of thin air. Zechariah 14, verses 6 to 7, in that day there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle, for it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. And it will come out that at evening time there will be light. An interesting day forecast, a unique day, an opposite day, if you will, is in our future, to where there will be no light in the day and light will come out at night. It's just interesting. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12, we see that our 24-hour a day is going to be interrupted by one-third, that day and night are going to be altered in some way by a third. Don't really know how that's going to flesh out, but it's going to be different. In fact, Revelation chapter 16 and verses 8 to 9 says that the heat of the sun is going to be turned up a bit. There is global warming coming. Maybe that corresponds with the sun being seven times brighter than it normally is. But there's going to be something about day and night and how we're accustomed to it always being. It's going to be altered in some way. Because remember that nature is just how God naturally orders and operates in His world. It's just He's so gracious and kind to give us this nice, even consistency, but He is going to alter its operation in a way, even the operation of light. Because God is light, and He controls light, and so light and darkness are going to be affected in the heavens. Not only light, but even the stability of the structures themselves. Turn back to Isaiah 13 and listen to some of these, because the scripture talks about the earth itself shaking and trembling. Not just the earth itself shaking and trembling, but the heavens will shake and tremble. A forecast of great signs and great shakings in heavens. Just listen to this. Isaiah 13:13. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from its place. The heavens are going to tremble. The verse I read earlier from Isaiah 24, where it talks about the earth tottering like a drunk and moving back and forth. And maybe it's just from our perception, because if the earth is tottering back and forth, then our perception of the heavens is going to be that the heavens are moving. Maybe that's what it's talking about. But God does say through the prophet Haggai that He is going to shake the heavens, that He is going to shake the earth, He is going to shake the sea and the dry land. I mean, that the heavens itself is going to shake? The sun, moon, and stars? You mean when Hubble telescope looks out into the vastness of space, something is going to be out of place and teetering and tottering back and forth? Well, Jesus alludes to this in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 11. He says, "And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven." Verses 25 and 26, "And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among the nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Wow, not just earthquakes, but spacequakes? I mean, let that one sink in for a little bit, for a wild and woolly forecast. In fact, another interesting one in Revelation 6, verse 13, it says that the stars, that they would be cast to the earth, kind of like a fig tree, just kind of scattering it, scattering some of its bodies upon the earth. You know that NASA tracks near-earth objects? I see it every now and again. Boy, an asteroid's going to get close. In fact, NASA says that there are about 25,000 asteroids, I guess maybe they're keeping a track of, that can be close to the earth. There's 100 comets that come close to earth, and countless meteoroids. And there is an asteroid belt sitting right out there. It's kind of a picture in my mind. I don't know if you ever seen a baseball pitching machine, and it's just going to boo, 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 and there's just a whole basket of balls there. Well, our universe is a whole basket of balls. And I wonder if they're pointed at the earth in some way. I wonder if one of them is named Wormwood. You know, they do have a tendency of naming them, do they not? though I think maybe now they have more numbers than names. But all of these things in these forecasts, the earthquakes to the space quakes, these future forecasts warn us and tell us to be aware. We need to be looking over the horizon. And when these things begin to take place, we need to be prepared. We shouldn't be perplexed. We shouldn't be frightened. We are not to be afraid of the forecast. He's already told us beforehand so that we can be prepared for what's coming over the horizon. He says, don't be frightened. These things must take place. Remember, God has the whole world in His hands. His eye is on the sparrow and the weather is His doing. The Creator is in control of what He has created. It is His climate. And Mother Nature gets way too much props in our land. That is idolatry. It is Father God. Imagine the forecaster saying, you know, Jesus Christ brought some hail over Norman, and boy, He, you know, imagine that. The hue and the outcry of the Creator being charged with control of His creation. But God has His world in His hands, and He has us in His hands, and we are safe from whatever He will bring upon His earth. As He says to us, that not a hair of your head will perish. And so we have a good hope. And all of these quakings and shakings and things, God says that He's going to shake things up from the way that He naturally does things. And the reason that He's going to do it, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, is so that we will know that there is something that cannot be shaken. He says, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. He's going to shake the heavens and He's going to shake an earth. But we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And when God gave His law from Mount Sinai, the mountain shook that place and warned those people. And God is going to speak again in the future. In some future forecast, He will speak. And our ground will start shaking. And the grass will start baking. The seas will start roaring and the winds will be stopping and hail will start falling and the sun will be scorching and the moon will be blushing and the stars will be falling and the heaven itself will be quaking. And the question is, are we listening? Are we listening to what He thunders for us? You know what? Why are we given a forecast? Why do we like a forecast? I mean, we watch it on the news. We hear it on the radio. We want to know what's happening. Do I pack my umbrella today? You know, we kind of want to know if I got a hint for what the future is going to be, I need to make some due preparations for it. And we have a pretty detailed forecast. It's a pretty hairy forecast, but don't be frightened. It's going to happen. And Jesus says it has to happen this way. But He tells us so that we can be prepared. Do we listen to His voice? Well, why don't we stand? We're just going to have a quick word of invitation. I apologize we went a few minutes over. But we did a lot of Bible study or exploring today. And I hope it was beneficial. But as we do sing this word of invitation, I hope you're listening, and I hope we can look over the horizon and expect what could be coming down the pipe. That as you sang that or thought it in your mind, that it is true in your life and in your heart, that you are following our Lord, and that there is no turning back. When we put our hand to the plow and we follow after Him, we can follow Him to the end, and He will keep us to that end. He who began a good work in us, He will keep us to the end, and we will have the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Well, as Carol already mentioned, don't come back tonight. We don't have an evening service, so do enjoy the rest of your Lord's Day with family, with friends, with good fellowship with our Lord and in His Word, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank You for Your Word that sanctifies us through and through, that tells us who we are and what is to come. Lord, strengthen our faith this day so that we would not be frightened, but that we would be full of faith in You who hold our times in Your hands. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.